Welcome
to Real Estate Radio Power Investing,
an informative and engaging hour discussing everything you need to know about the world of real estate investing.
Your host, Tom K. Wilson, provides you with insight and guidance from his years of experience as a successful real estate entrepreneur on how to buy, sell, finance, and invest in real estate,
and much more.
Now, here's your host for Real Estate Radio Power Investing, Tom K. Wilson.
Thanks for tuning in to our real estate investing program, your number one source for all of your real estate needs and education. We're broadcasting from the number one business radio station in the San Francisco Bay Area, KDOW AM 1220, the Wall Street Business Network. I'm Tom K. Wilson, your host for this weekly program on real estate investing. If you can't make the live show, you can catch our podcast on TomWilsonProperties.com or on iTunes or on YouTube. We invite you to go to TomWilsonProperties.com and register for a weekly newsletter, which also give you access to many of our products that are only available to our clients. Wilson Investment Properties has properties in the multifamily and commercial arena with syndications, where for $50,000 or $75,000, you can be a part of a property that normally is only a type of property that's available to large investors or institutional investors. Also have houses and fourplexes and so forth that are available from time to time. Also on that website is a lot of education information that we welcome you to go look at, including all the podcasts that we've had over the past 4 years with various topics and various guests. Also a lot of information about how to get started, what's a syndication, how do I choose the right metro? How do I choose the right kind of product to invest in? And also, you can also see many of our PowerPoint presentations that we give at different speaking events. So we invite you to do that. And also, we welcome your questions, and we also welcome your suggestions for guests and topics for us to cover here on the weekly program. So today we're going to cover some subjects, the subject of multifamily investing, and talk about what are the things that we have learned to not do, what if mistakes to avoid. And we have with us a very experienced expert with us by the name of Neil Bawa. And Neil has been in the syndication and multifam business for a number of years. He leads a meetup group in the Northern California, San Francisco Bay Area. 17 years he spent in the private sector with a education corporation, where he was involved with the direction and management of a $40 million education company and lots of employees. So he learned a lot of skills in that business. I always tell people that I think many undervalue and underestimate their generally skills that they acquire from one business and how transferable they are to other businesses. And certainly Neil did a wonderful job in doing that and moving it over to real estate. And Neil, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Tom. It's great to be back on the show.
Always nice to have folks with a lot of experience, because you never want to go do something all on your own without the benefit of the experience of others, because they are, using the experience of others and using other people, you can certainly accelerate your success and help avoid a lot of mistakes that can really be major stoplights in your path down the road. You know, people, I think, often forget about how those stoplights kill your average. You know, you go down a surface road, and compared to the freeway, it seems like you're moving along pretty good, but that occasional stoplight sure affects that that average speed that your little car computer tells you about. So avoiding those, just like Warren Buffett's famous mantra of don't lose what you have, is certainly important. And my gosh, if I had to make any one or two suggestions about what I've learned, and that is, don't try to reinvent the wheel. Go ride on the coattails of somebody else that's learned. So today's show is the top mistakes to avoid when buying multifam or apartment complexes. So Neil, before we Before we jump into that, just tell for our audience a little bit about your multifamily experience and in investing, what you've done.
Well, Tom, what you just said resonates with me greatly because that's really how I started. So I sold my technology company that I had in partnership with another individual, and I wanted to invest the proceeds into real estate. And while I did what most people do, buy a bunch of single-family homes, and then I started buying duplexes and triplexes, I realized that it was turning into a full-time job for me. And there was just so many things to keep track of that at some point I started to become saturated and make a lot of mistakes with these units. And I was doing this more or less on a full-time basis, and I still couldn't keep up with it.
The theory is that it's passive, but and you can be passive, but there's quite a variance in level of success if you're engaged with these property managers and so forth than if you just go try to treat it as mailbox money and go travel. Right?
Exactly. Right? The more engaged you are, the more likely that you'll get better returns. So I was very engaged. And I just got to the point where I was fully saturated. So I started looking around to see what else is out there. And I used the Warren Buffett principle, really, that I don't want to lose money. And at this point, I don't know enough to buy large multifamilies myself. So I started looking at these folks called syndicators that were basically buying these large multifamilies using money from investors like me. And I started to invest with them. But I made a very unusual deal with them. So I would find these syndicators throughout the United States. I actually eventually ended up investing with 13 of them. And the condition was that not only would I invest my money with them, $50,000 or $100,000 chunks, but I would bring other investors from the Bay Area in as long as I was allowed to sit on the calls that they had with their property manager. Because most of them, they didn't live in the city that the property was in. So they managed it by having weekly calls with the property manager. And I said, I want to attend these calls, and I'm only willing to invest if you let me in. I'm an investor in this property, and so there's no harm in having me sit in the calls. There's no confidentiality issues. And some of them were taken aback by that, but others were fine with it. And so I started...
Now, were you asking for a vote or just asking for the information?
Just information. Mm-hmm. And... I was silent on most calls, but I learned a tremendous amount in those calls. And some of the mistakes that I talk about today are mistakes that I've made on my own and you know, burnt my own fingers with my own money. But there are other mistakes I actually watched them, even some experienced syndicators, make on these calls. And later on, 6 months or a year down the line, they admitted to just how much it had cost them. And in certain cases, they knew that these were the wrong things to do. But sometimes you just do them anyway, thinking that it's not going to hurt that this much. So I hope that the viewers here, you know, their takeaways for today for these mistakes are that even one out of these mistakes, and we're going to go through a bunch of them, but even one of them is enough to kill a project.
Yep. And obviously, there's no guarantee that any project is going to turn out well. But certainly, the better the track record of whomever is finding them, negotiating them, and managing them, the better the track record. And, of course, you have to have total integrity and credibility. But that certainly increases that return risk ratio significantly if they've had a lot of... lot of experience to help minimize the risk for you, for the new investor.
Absolutely. And when I got into real estate full time, I was looking for a partner. And what I loved about my partner, John Mark, who's been on this show before, was he felt the pain of losing investors' money or the potential loss of investor money more than losing his own money. And to me, that is the primary requirement to be a syndicator, to be a real estate professional, take other people's money. You have to be more afraid of losing someone else's money than losing your own.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, I think that's a very important point. So let's dive into one of them. Mm-hmm. So let us know what's the first one that comes to mind that's a mistake to avoid.
Sure. So one of the things that you'll hear from people again and again is, you know, I toured this area and there were a whole bunch of properties and they were not so good looking and they were ratty. They're, you know, the stucco was hanging. And then there was this one that was really good looking. And so I went and made an offer on that particular property. When it comes to multifamily, especially to the large ones, I urge you to be careful when making an offer on the best looking property in a particular area. Now, while that may seem like common sense, what you'll end up doing in a vast majority of the cases is you'll end up paying a premium for it. Now, if the properties next to it were $2 million each and you ended up paying $2 million for a better looking one, well, kudos, that you did a great job there. But in practice, that almost never happens. You'll end up paying a significant premium for this property because you'll believe that when you sell it 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line, the next guy will also pay a premium. Guess what? It's not likely that they'll pay a premium. Syndicators like us, we typically want to buy a property that is below the level of the area. So if it's a B area, we want to buy a C property there. But if it's a Bay Area, the last thing that we want to do is to buy an A property, because we may actually do fairly well with the rents. We may do well with keeping it highly occupied. But at the end, when you've got to exit, an A property in a B area is not going to generate the same kind of returns as a C property in a B area. So keep that in mind. I know it's not quite instinctive to think of it that way, but this is extremely important.
Another thing I tell people is that one of the most important lessons I've had over these years of investing is how much the submarkets vary from one area to another. So so you got to be watch those submarkets very carefully, and different classes within a region can vary in their cycles, and different price categories within that same class can vary a lot.
So
you really got to know an area very, very well. And you might find areas where A is being built a lot and it's sort of topping out in the market, but B's and C's are still very strong because no one's building B's.
We see that phenomenon again and again, especially in markets such as Dallas. So you've got Dallas where a lot of people are saying, hey, there's a ton of construction going on. Is the market close to a peak? And then you look at it and you go, 95% of all incoming construction is Class A. Also, while I'm beginning to see the A market top off and rents start to drop, I'm continuing to see vacancy compression for the B and the C market. I'm continuing to see rent increases that are significantly above norm. That doesn't describe to me a market that's topping off.
I stay in touch with Dr. Doug Duncan, chief economist of Fannie Mae, and recently I asked him what he felt about the multifam versus commercial market, and he said, well, there are a few markets in the country that I think are maybe starting to get a little bit saturated, but there are many other markets where Class A is maybe getting a little tight because that's the only thing they're building. There's a large market, in fact, a larger market of tenants who are looking for B's and Z's. So if that's something they aren't building, then it's got typically a little bit more life in it than say an A. And that may vary for different areas. But that's probably not a bad generalization in most markets because they just don't build B and C products anymore. So often that's a better value there. So we have with us today Neil Bawa in the studio with a lot of experience as an entrepreneur and as a syndicator and a purchaser of multifamily properties. And he's sharing with us his experience in that arena to help us and help you avoid making mistakes on future purchases. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Real Estate Radio Power Investing.
Streaming live on iHeart, TuneIn, and KDOW.biz.
For more information on today's topic or guest, visit TomWilsonProperties.com. That's TomWilsonProperties.com. Again, your host for today's edition of Real Estate Radio Power Investing, Tom K. Wilson.
Welcome back to our Real Estate Investing program here on KDOW, 1220 AM. And in the studio with us today is Neil Bawa, who's an experienced entrepreneur and has experienced in the real estate investing, especially with multifam and also as a syndicator. So we were talking about mistakes to avoid, how important that is to take advantage of what others have learned so that you don't make those mistakes, because one mistake really cuts the averages down and your returns by quite a bit. So we, what's the next item that you can think of that we should avoid?
Well, I'm going to throw one of my favorite quotes at you. So the quote is, you're only winning if you're losing a lot. So in real estate, if you're making offers and you're winning every other offer or even every third offer, you're not doing it right. Because the way that the market is structured, unfortunately, at this point in time and for the last 3 years, there are too many rookies making offers way beyond what they should be. So because there's so many of them and because they're making so many outrageous offers, the chances that you would win even one out of three are kind of remote. So you really shouldn't be getting into best and final very often on these large multifams. And if you get into best and final, let's say 70% of the time, inevitably you're paying too much.
And the irony of it is that a rookie can be a big operator. So look at some of these hedge funds that have been overpaying, and I hate to generalize, but it from some of the things that we read and hear about from those who are dealing with them directly, their objective is to deploy investment money, and often the ones who are making these bids and so forth aren't really experienced investors themselves. And I hear stories all the time from our wholesalers about them overpaying. And so if they're overpaying, that means that they're winning too many things.
Absolutely. I think that the patience has not been their strong suit. So we see more and more large pension funds. They're getting into real estate. Now, in general, I think that's a good trend because real estate has been ignored by a lot of these big pension funds. And right now, a lot of these are insolvent. They're paying out 7.5% to retirees. And they're bringing in 4.5%. So they start looking at real estate and going, well, if I could make 8% or 9% on real estate, that would be great. So their frame of mind is that they can make 9%. What they don't understand is that the right offer, the market offer to make, would be for you to make 12% or 15% or 18%. And so there's a lot of money flooding into the marketplace. So if you're winning very often, be careful, you're overpaying for the market, and in the long run, that's going to affect your returns tremendously.
I know we've done syndications and products separately, and you've invested in some of our syndications, and we're pleased to be working with you on some deals as well. But we've discussed this before. But I know we both make a lot of offers to win one. Most investors have no idea how much work and due diligence goes into feeding that funnel with possible deals. And many of them, there are lots of points for it to fall out, not even getting a response, getting too many people that were willing to pay more, willing to go into best and final and be willing to walk away. You got to be willing to walk away.
Absolutely, and that this is tied to another one of my key mistakes. Technology is wonderful, right? So you have this thing called Google Street View, and regardless of whether you're buying a single family or a duplex rental or you're buying a 300 unit property, it's a tool. It shouldn't be the basis of your strategy. Right, so people are making this mistake again and again where they're just using Google Street View to make offers. And in my case, sometimes when I understand an area or submarket, I might use Google exclusively to make my initial offer. But the moment I realize that I'm in best and final, which is what happens in the multifamily market, you've got to fly down there. The other piece of it is flying down there, you don't go there just to look at the apartment complex. That's a capital mistake. You've got to spend hours around the apartment complex. So as much as roads that are rectangular will allow me, I try to go in concentric rings, expanding concentric rings around the property, and I keep going further and further until I run out of time. So if it's a 1 or 2 day trip, I might spend less than that amount, half of that time at the property, and the remaining I'm spending it in the properties around me, really understanding the submarket. And Google doesn't allow you to do any of those.
Nope. And also having relationships in those areas that know it very, very well is certainly critical. We have in the studio with us today Neil Bawa, a longtime entrepreneur and investor and syndicator in multifamily properties. Also, has a meetup group on multifam. So we'll be back in just a moment.
Welcome back to Real Estate Radio Power Investing.
Streaming live on iHeart, TuneIn, and KDOW.biz.
For more information on today's topic or guest, visit TomWilsonProperties.com. That's TomWilsonProperties.com. Again, your host for today's edition of Real Estate Radio Power Investing, Tom K. Wilson.
Welcome back to our Real Estate Investing program on KDOW 1220 AM, the Wall Street Business Network. We have with us in studio today Neil Bawa. And we're talking about multifamily properties and multifamily syndications and mistakes to avoid. So you were talking just before the break about the importance of not just looking at a property, but looking at everything you can around it. Something I've learned to do as well, and as an extension of that, is I like to go see where people work, and I like to go see where people shop. So I'll go in the neighborhood stores, I'll go in the closest major shopping, and I don't just drive by. I stop, park, I go get out, I go inside, and I see who's there. And I'll do it in the daytime, and I'll do it at nighttime. And I will also park by the property itself and see who's coming and going at nighttime. And those are the kinds of things that you either yourself, if you're buying something yourself, or if you're having a, if you have a syndicator or a broker who's doing that for you, that's a kind of question you want to ask and find out, are they doing that level of research? Because you can, the listing agent will have lots of wonderful demographic information. Sometimes who's actually on that property and who's in that nearby store doesn't match the demographics there in that nice report.
Yep. And a few others like that. I love going there at night, right? Because the place is completely different. I want to trust my instincts on whether I'm feeling safe or not. Another one that I really love is I like looking at how old the cars are. Mm-hmm. So I want to see what kind of cars are there, because that gives me an idea of the kind of folks that live there.
Mm-hmm. And the condition of the cars.
Mm-hmm. Right. So mm-hmm. That's one of the key ones. I like looking at the parking lots. Have they been paved over in the last 20, 25 years? You know, do they look really beat up? Because if they're very beat up, then the properties in that area are not giving enough money to the owners to repave. So that's an indication of how well the area is doing.
Yeah. If you don't want to, you want a lot of neighbors that have capital limited owners of
right,
them.
Right? Right.
You want your neighbors to look as good or better than yours, if that's possible. If it's got a flat roof, we don't usually prefer that over a pitch. But if it's fairly new and replacement, or you've got the funds and the pencils out so that you can replace it, and that's perfectly okay. But all of those things are important.
Exactly. One last one, and this one is technology. I tend to Google the apartment complex and read reviews on Yelp and apartments.com. So you get, there's a few different websites that you can read reviews on for an apartment complex, but those two are really the key ones. And I will make sure that when I'm doing my due diligence, I bring those items up, all of them. I actually like to print out those reviews and walk to the property manager and say, what have you done to address these? You know, is this a past issue? Is this continuing to be an issue for your tenants? That's very important, because the property manager might just give you, he might not give you the real story of the apartment complex, but if you walk in with all this stuff printed out in your hands, then he knows, okay, I've got to be very careful in what I say to these people. I don't want to lie. And so some of the stories that he may not have otherwise told you will start coming out.
Yeah, it's really, really good to engage in a conversation. I'm usually amazed, no matter what I'm, what kind of business or product I'm involved in. If you go to someone that maybe has a different motive or objective or axe or grind, if you will, if you start opening up, I find about what your experiences are. Most people just naturally like to talk about their experiences, and if you share something, then often they will start sharing something. I'm sure
right.
you've You found that to happen with property managers and even sellers. And
absolutely. So it's really just about setting the groundwork for the conversation and letting it flow. And they'll tell you a lot of information that they wouldn't have told you otherwise, as you know. So manipulate, move the conversation in the right direction.
And speaking about checking out an area, you know, we're very analytical, and a lot of our peers are. But in the end, I often step back and say, would I be okay with my daughter living here? I have Neil Bawa with us today, entrepreneur and an experienced investor and syndicator of multifamily properties. And we're talking about mistakes to avoid. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Real Estate Radio Power Investing.
Streaming live on iHeart, TuneIn, and KDOW.biz.
For more information on today's topic or guest, visit TomWilsonProperties.com. That's TomWilsonProperties.com. Again, your host for today's edition of Real Estate Radio Power Investing, Tom K. Wilson.
Welcome back to our real estate investment program with Neil Bawa in the studio today, experienced multifam investor, and we're talking about the kinds of things that he has learned to avoid to help make your probability of success in whatever you invest a little bit higher. So give us some more things to avoid there, Neil.
Well, I think this one's my favorite, and I know there's a lot of people in Northern California listening to this show. And so particularly for people that live in either Southern California or Northern California, this is a big one. The past is not a representative of the future. So don't use the past as an indicator, especially when you're looking for rent growth. So the San Francisco Bay Area has done really well, and so has Los Angeles over the last 3 or 4 years in terms of rent growth. But to assume that that will continue for the next 3 or 4 or 5 years, I think is a capital mistake. Too many people are making it. Too many experienced real estate professionals are making it. I think that for some reason, we're all forgetting the lessons that we learned in 2007, 2008. So the property that you know we're working on at this point in time, Woods of Ridge Mart in Fort Worth. Fort Worth's a city that's had 11% rent increases in the last 12 months. That is a staggering number, right? So whenever you see double-digit numbers of rent growth, that's a staggering number. And so the folks that are investing in it, the investors are asking me, so what's your projection of what will happen? You should get 50% rent increases in 5 years. And the answer is no, we've projected 9%. So they're saying 9% a year? No, 9% in 5 years. And so they say, well, this doesn't make sense. You look at what this area is doing. It's clearly on fire. And my position there is, number one, anything that's going really, really fast has to slow down. And it might even backtrack a little bit. Doesn't change the fact that it's a great market, but you could have that happen. And the second piece is that we shouldn't forget that in any five-year cycle, there's going to be a down year. It may be a recession. It may not be a recession, but it's going to be a slow year or down year. And so you've got to account for all of these when you're making your rent projections work. And it's better to be conservative than to do the sort of stuff that we see here in the Bay Area, where we see people selling 3-cap properties and then assuming that people will make money in the next 5 years because they're going to keep making 8 to 10% rent increases for the next 5 years. When I look at that, I laugh. It's sad and funny at the same time.
Yeah, I've certainly learned to, be very conservative in projections, whether it's for myself or for others. And I, like you, when I've got other people's money that I'm responsible for, I'm very, I'm even more conservative, as I always would prefer to overperform.
That's
and,
right.
Yeah, underpromise and overperform, and you know, there's no guarantees, and in the end, you have to look at, well, how is this investment compared to something else? But certainly, I think it's very, very prudent to not assume that the horse is going to keep running and they're going to have to take a break once in a while. Right?
Absolutely. The only challenge with doing this is you have to go back to the rule that I was talking about losing a lot of offers. Because when you underwrite for conservative rent growth, you're going to lose a lot of offers. But that's okay. It's much better to beef up your staff and manpower in the area of making offers than to start getting overly bullish when it comes to rent growth.
Yep. I certainly think we make the most money for investors when we carefully select what we buy, don't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's really in the buy. It's at the point of purchase. But when you're buying, you should be paying the right price, and rent growth plays such a humongous role in making that decision.
and having sufficient reserves, not over leverage. I think every investment should be made, calculated such that you can ride out a storm.
Absolutely. I think that's very key. As a syndicator yourself, you should be keeping some money aside so that you're not resorting to a cash call in case there's a challenge in the marketplace, and sufficient operating reserves. My company has started actually keeping a higher level of operating reserves now because we see some fragility in the financial markets that could have impacts down the line. So it's better to have higher operating reserves so that you can ride out any storm.
Also, like having a loan whose term is longer than the design hold period, so that if the market conditions aren't ideal at that time, you don't have a gun to your head.
Absolutely, that's a key one, because your loan has such an enormous impact on your cash flow. Whenever possible these days, to be honest, we have phenomenal loans available to us. And so going in for a 3-year or 5-year loan just doesn't make sense. You should go in for a 10-year. So you can go 2.5 times as long as your typical hold period and not have to worry about what happens when that interest rate resets.
Some of our listeners probably, have not invested in multifam, or if they have, they've maybe been smaller ones. I know you and I both believe that it's good to have larger products that you can get the economy of scale and have be able to afford on-site management, on-site maintenance, and so forth. You have better control and lower cost. But some may think it sounds great, and I hope someday I can be there, but I don't have a few $1 million to invest. They may not be aware of syndication. So briefly just summarize what a syndication is and why that's so great for investors.
Sure. Syndication is a process where an experienced real estate management team pools investor funds together so that you can buy institutional class assets. So you're buying properties that you typically wouldn't be able to buy, may cost $10 million, $20 million, $30 million. These are properties that do have the economies of scale that you just talked about. These are properties that are in better areas, better quality assets that you would be able to buy by yourself. So there's so many benefits that you get by pooling these funds together and getting the economies of scale, not to mention that you get access to professional management teams who every week for the next 3, 4, 5 years, however long that investment cycle is, are keeping an eye on your property.
So you can invest in typically $50,000, $75,000 a share. Someone can be invested in a product like this.
Absolutely.
And they're taking advantage of a syndicator's ability to filter through a lot of deals to pick these golden nuggets, the best ones, to be able to negotiate the product and to be able to execute the plan and manage it well. So it's very successful for everybody. So you and I both love learning from others and riding on the coattails of others and asking others who have the experience to be able to increase our successes. So I think that's syndications are just fantastic, but you got to get the right syndicators. So we have Neil Bawa in the studio today talking about multifamily properties and what the advantages are of investing in something like that, and that you as an individual investor can do it very economically. Stay with us, and we'll be back for a little wrap-up.
Welcome back to Real Estate Radio Power Investing.
Streaming live on iHeart, TuneIn, and KDOW.biz.
For more information on today's topic or guest, visit TomWilsonProperties.com. That's TomWilsonProperties.com. Again, your host for today's edition of Real Estate Radio Power Investing, Tom K. Wilson.
Nice to have you with us today, and it's nice to have Neil Bawa in the studio with us, an experienced multifam investor and entrepreneur. Neil, you got another thing left that we shouldn't do?
Absolutely. One of my favorites, and I'm going to do this one quickly. In short, do not buy in either a city or a submarket where population's declining. There are many things that you can come back from, many mistakes that you can come back from. This one is an absolute killer, because people will look at it and say, well, I'm buying at a phenomenally high cap rate. The property is cash flowing. Yes, all of those things may be true. Now, generally, they aren't, but they still may be true. I still would tell you not to buy, because you're going to have a tremendous amount of trouble exiting. If you're buying at a 10 cap well, that's a fabulous number. But when you exit 5 years later, you're going to be at a 14 or a 15 or a 16 cap, because when population's declining, demand is declining.
That's why you and I keep going back to Texas and a place like Dallas-Fort Worth. I just got back from a week trip last night from DFW and touring around. I cannot believe the number of cranes that are building things. You know, there's one stretch of a mile long that has $5 billion worth of construction going on. It's just on fire, and one would say, well, guys, that makes me a little nervous. No, we got more and more companies moving in all the time, so that job growth really drives the population up, and that's what we like, isn't it?
Absolutely. At this point, Dallas, the DFW area, has a 2% population growth, which for a major area with 7 million people is a stunningly great number. But the job growth is at 3%. So all those cranes don't worry me one bit. Mm-mm. When your job growth number exceeds an already stellar population growth number.
Very good. Very good point. Want to wrap up a little summarize here, some of these points that we made through the program?
Absolutely. It's very important for you as an investor to, again, ride on the coattails of others. It's important that you go to meetup groups, that you listen to programs such as this, and really educate yourself, because the mistakes that you might make are so huge that even one or two of the mistakes that we've talked about today could take down an entire project. So very, very key to learn. Do not experiment. This is not the kind of real estate market that you want to experiment in.
And indeed, by being investing in a syndication, you greatly spread your risk. And that doesn't mean to say you can just casually do it. You want to make sure you've got a good syndicator, make sure that the story of the metro and product that they're in makes a lot of sense, and that they've got a really good value product.
Absolutely. I think that there are a lot of good syndicators, and then there's quite a few that are not so good. And so
they may be just inexperienced.
Right. Yep. Exactly. There may be a lack of experience there. Maybe they're learning on your dime. Mm-hmm. And so it's very important to avoid that from happening and look at the past track record, and also ask your syndicator about the sort of mistakes that they've made in the past. And I'd be curious to see what some of the other ones come up with in terms of mistakes.
Thanks for bringing your experience to the studio today, Neil, and to the program. It's always nice to have you on. I know we'll be glad to have you back. So remember to go to TomWilsonProperties.com and go sign up for our weekly newsletter. Also, as becoming part of our client base, you get access and opportunities to see products that will come out that are only available to our client base. And we have a lot of education information on that website as well. So we welcome you to go to that site. We welcome your questions, and we look forward to bringing you more programs here on KDOW 1220 AM, the Wall Street Business Network. Real estate investing is a wonderful area to build your wealth, but you got to do it right, and you got to get the sufficient education so that you can maximize your returns. So, Neil, thank you again for being with us, and we look forward to having our guests back. And remember, the only thing that matters is what you do next. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Tom.